Brewing is as much about the process as it is about the product. At its most satisfying, brewing creates a culture and a community that goes beyond beer geekdom to make deeper connections. It's about learning, sharing, and creating. It's a touchstone that can make people who've never met instantly friends. Beer with Strangers starts now.
Welcome to episode 99 of Beer with Strangers. I'm your host, Tony Russo, and I'm joined this week, as I'm joined each week, by my co-host, Doug Griffith.
Well, hello, Tony.
Hello.
Given the normal weather report, it is cloudy today. They're supposed to say it was coming to be sunny, but still overcast. Had some fog this morning. I know it was, earlier when I was out, it was very misty.
Yeah, and a little muggy.
Yeah. It's like 100% humidity.
Yeah,
you didn't move too much. You were sweating.
God, it's awful hot.
But it was at least wasn't hot, though.
And then at least it's not pouring. No. So those are the two things that we like to see. All sorts of fun stuff for this week. But we're going to start off with a recap of the weekend because we had a great time here at Extreme. And thank you for everybody who came out. And so how did it go? Did you get any feedback? But how did you?
Had great interest. Some people had said that birthdays are coming up and or
Father's Day.
So I think we've got some interest in potential buyers. But main thing, it was just a good demonstration. Mike did a great job. Mike Boni, who is a teacher at Dell Tech, he did a great job of presenting the grandfather and showing all the components and actually how it worked.
Yeah, it was great how engaged he was and how everybody kind of like came together. And he it was a 4-hour thing, and everybody stayed. But almost everybody stayed the entire time. A couple of people had to leave a couple minutes early, but. It was great how they all kind of hung out, and like when new people came in, they got to ask the same questions, and other people were happy to hear the same answers over and over again.
Well, I think it reinforced that what it does and how you do it. And the we had the one that wasn't the new one sitting here, so you could still see the inside,
right?
Even though it was in use by another stage, or you had the boil guard, and you could still see how the setup was for the mashing part of it in the sample we have here.
Yeah, and I know we've gone over this before. We'll go over it again. I think everybody was most amazed by how quickly it cooled down. That cool down thing.
Yes, just, it worked great.
It just astounds people. What was it, 6 minutes he got the water cool in?
Yeah, but he does an initial to reduce the temperature a little bit. Just recirculating back in reduces it, I guess, 20 degrees or something. He said he found that works really well, and then of course, with his water, and our water right now is very cool because it's well water, although later on in the season, because we see an irrigator right across the road from us, temperature does go up. But
yeah,
he said it, his well is usually between 55 and 60, so, which is great.
And there was lots of good food. I got to have all the chips and the dips, and there was plenty of great beer. Something that we haven't really talked enough about, and we'll do a show on it all together, but I want to at least mention is you guys have the Fin City...
Yes.
Beers.
We're waiting for approval back from Vince Wright and his partners as to all the procedures we've got set up and the labels to produce homebrew beers of their three beers of theirs.
And we got to taste them, and they all tasted great. I mean, I've had them before, and the ones that you can make
as
yourself. I've had the commercial ones before. And these were just awesome beers. And it's funny because I think a lot of people haven't had homebrew in a long time, or they had maybe one bad batch that a friend made. But the beer that I have here is always just great. I mean, the stuff that people bring in is always just fantastic. People really know what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the compliment. For us, we don't do anything exceptional that a normal home brewer can't do. We don't use anything other than the ingredients that we have available for everybody to use. So now part of it may be expertise that we know where to look for the pitfalls and how to avoid the problems. But a lot of it is just fermentation temperature and just good, clean procedures.
Yeah, because you feel like you're not – like there must be things that you – guys don't even notice you're preventing from happening, you know, just like absentmindedly.
Just good procedure.
Yeah, just to do the same thing every time.
Right.
Do it 1,000 times,
right,
or whatever, 10,000 hours of practice.
And we find that our procedures may not always be like somebody else's, but if you're doing it and your procedure works and it generally works from the beginning, you keep using that procedure. So there may be tweaks in it that you can do to possibly make it better. But most people, we find if the procedures that they use work, they continue with those procedures.
And speaking of procedures, we'll use this as a segue into our first story. This week we read in Fortune that Whirlpool, the washing machine company, is getting into a homebrewing system, but a fermentation system. Do you want to talk about it a little bit?
Well, I find it interesting that a big cult conglomerate, I guess, is looking at the home brew market. I guess they're seeing enough individuals, and I think it was 1.3 million people are home brewers is what they had estimated.
Right.
So I guess they're seeing the potential there of even 10% of that.
That's plenty of units, And these guys also make KitchenAid, which is another really, like, they sell to people who spend money on equipment, like KitchenAid does anyway.
So, but if they made, I would assume something that's going to have a refrigeration unit in it to control temperatures, because you've got to ferment it, and then they talked about actually being kegged and then dispensed from that unit.
Now, then, so they started a GoFundMe or an Indiegogo or some sort of crowdfunding program for people who are, if you're interested enough, I guess you invest in.
And then they said they'd offer, I think it was 37%, I believe it was, off the purchase price, which was like $1,900, though.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's not only incredibly expensive. Well, not, it's just pretty expensive. But also one of the things that that confuses me is, so you drink the beer and then you can start brewing. You have to drink the entire 5 gallons or
that's
whatever?
That's what I would assume. It just didn't really say. Now, maybe they have a separate section for fermentation and one for dispensing, but I didn't read that in their article.
And
this still doesn't include how you make your beer. It's just fermenting the beer.
Right.
And dispensing.
Do people I guess the only complaint about fermentation is, as we were discussing on Saturday, sometimes it blows up. But,
well, part of that's because of temperature. You can't control your temperature. It gets warmer than what you want it to do, and that's the whole idea with this piece of equipment. It would maintain temperature for you,
right? So they would you wouldn't have any exploding.
Which is one of the big variables with home brewing.
And I don't see why. I guess it's that seems like a bell and a whistle that you may not need, unless they have like two chambers or something.
That's what I don't know. No. What we do for our own purposes here for fermentation, we've got what you see right over here to our, which you can't see at home.
Just
anyway, but there, we have a freezer that we've put a temperature controller in, so we can control our fermentation temperatures. So even if it may go in there a little warm, the controller is going to
level it out.
Right, bring it down, the temperature down, and it's going to come down fairly quick. Although with most liquids, it does take a little while for that temperature to change.
And this is pretty common. Like a lot of homebrew guys that do a lot of homebrewing, they'll make, because it looks like the thing you put on them, you added something that was made to do that.
Yes, added a temperature controller that actually turns on and off the compressor as it's needed. So
to keep it from freezing or trying to freeze the beer.
But it's one of the, I think, biggest variables, or one of the things you want to control the most that influence final flavor of the beer is temperature, fermentation temperature.
I'd love to see the prototypes. They don't even really have any pictures yet. I didn't get a chance to go to the Indiegogo page or whatever it is. But if you follow us, you go to the site, you can get a link to the story, and then you can get a link, I think, to the Whirlpool. I couldn't find a picture of the thing is what it is, but we'll see. I mean, we'll keep an eye on this as
this story develops.
Yeah. and speaking of not really doing anything to get beer, the other story that I found that I wanted to talk about was the SodaStream
instant beer
as far as I can tell, and we had some discussion about this online, and Doug and I are going to talk about it now. Like, I guess a beer concentrate? I mean,
that's what I'm reading.
So like if you have a soda stream, you put a couple of drops of lime flavor in it and you have Sprite. It's like a highly concentrated sugar water with lemon.
It's going to have to be then purchased at a beer distributor or beer and wine distributor.
And that's
retail store, I would assume, because it's going to be alcoholic concentrate.
Right. And right now it's only available in Europe. That's like, I guess they're working on mail order. We talked about that last week or the week before. We talked about the rise of mail order, or that one of the things that the big beers are trying to do is to make mail order easier. Because then they can really succeed. Like if Budweiser teams up with Amazon, you know, you can have you can order a beer and have it there in 3 hours.
Have it flown in.
Yeah, have it flown in.
That's a little bit heavy. But who knows?
Maybe it's Bud Light they'll phone.
Yeah.
How can you imagine how you would go about concentrating without distilling it?
I wouldn't assume it would be like under a vacuum, which lowers the evaporation temperature, but then you're going to probably, that brings all kinds of things to mind. A lower boiling temperature, but you're going to boil off your alcohol first. That's going to have to be recapped and put back in. So I don't know, but there's all kinds of processes they do food wise and beverage wise that I'm sure they've got some.
Yeah, it's
experts that are able to figure it out.
I'm not going to lie. I will try them if they come out. Yeah. But I can't see myself going to a liquor store, walking past all of the craft beer and pulling out a vial of beer. I'll do it once just so I can say I did it. Yeah. But
do you have a soda stream?
I do have a soda stream. I absolutely love it. And that's I was asking Doug if he had one. And it occurred to me that he has CO2, so he doesn't need a soda stream. I absolutely love my soda stream. And what's interesting is when we were talking about, we talked a couple of weeks ago, in case you missed it, about whether or not it was economical to have a keg system in your house as opposed to bottling. And in the long term, you feel like, and this actually also came out at the thing on Saturday. In the long term, you feel like you're going to want kegs only because you make enough beer, and washing all the bottles and all of those things gets tedious after a while. And you only buy one or two bottles of CO2 a year.
Right.
And then you have soda in your house all the time and you don't need a soda stream. Right. So I got to the point last summer, we were going through so much soda. I was like, you know what? We're just going to get a CO2 system and hook it up in the house so that we can always have instant soda.
But I find it interesting here. This is the second article we're talking about today, and here it's two things that are from large companies getting into the home brewing industry because it's become extremely popular.
Yeah, and they can see that they can make some money at it. And actually, that can be a segue into our next story, which is the numbers are out on beer growth this year, and it said that the market is expected to reach $688.4 billion globally in the next 4 years, and that's with a 6% growth rate per year.
And that's big industry.
And what's amazing is, I mean, 6% and change is still fantastic, but it was 15%, and that's why everybody was talking about, there's going to be a craft beer bubble, because there's this concern that people are basing their new breweries on, well, I can take out a loan that'll let me grow at 15% for the next 10 years. And
it's not going to happen.
No one. I don't think anybody believes that. But the number of investment companies that are getting into the craft beer business makes you at least think that it makes sense to, like, 6% is a fair return. Yeah. And it's funny because 10 years ago, everybody thought that 6% was a crappy return, but they didn't know that somebody was cooking the books. Yeah. But when they're not cooking the books, there's nothing wrong with 6% return on your investment.
I'll take it. Yeah.
And the other thing that I thought was interesting about this article, which we got from Food and Beverage Alliance blog, and again, it's on the site, is that premium beer, they said there are three kinds of beer. There's normal beer, high premium beer and premium beer. So you think of like actual Budweiser or Mickey's Big Mouth Bass, and then you think of the, like the large format beers or the four packs, you know, that for the more expensive higher alcohol beers that are like $10 a four pack. Those would probably be the high premium, and then just the regular.
Everybody else is in between.
Yeah, I feel like I feel like the $10 a six pack is what you'd call the premium beers, and that is actually expected to grow significantly faster than the other two segments. More than 6.5%, right? Was it 6.7% or something?
Representative of all of the local breweries we're getting these days,
right?
That I would assume those are the premium beers, and the Bud Miller Coors are the regular beers.
Right.
And then, of course, everybody produces
a barrel aged or
the super premium.
Right, the super premium. And I like the fact that those are growing at the same rate as the low-end beers. So you have the same number, the same amount of dollars anyway being spent on Budweiser that you have being spent on, you know, Worldwide Stout, or and it's a good contrast.
I think people find that there's just, as we keep saying, there's more flavor in the craft beers.
Yeah, and they're worth and they're worth having more.
Yeah, you drink less, but you
and that was
they're still very good, flavorful for special occasions.
And we had I promised an announcement. Here's somewhat of an announcement. The craft beer app, the Sure Craft Beer app is working, and we have our art done for the flyers, so the posters will be up. If you want $5 off your ticket, you can buy it today or tomorrow up until June 5th. Type SAVE, S-A-V-E, 5 into the coupon box, and you get $5 off your ticket. And if you buy them one at a time, you kind of get $5 off each ticket, but it's $5 off each purchase. So if you,
and this is for the Salisbury event.
This is for the Salisbury Beer Festival, and the reason that I wanted to bring that up is there was someone who was saying, you know, but it was on the internet, and people on the internet aren't always the nicest people. But it said, you know, this is just what Ocean City needs, a bunch more drunks. And I had the opportunity to say, no, actually, drunks don't drink this beer. this is for grownups who like the taste of beer. This is for grownups who like to treat themselves. You know, it's not for
the
teenagers.
Premium or super premium beers that we've been talking about.
Exactly. These are premium and super, probably just premium at the beer festival. Yeah. For a couple of reasons. I think the main reason is that we put a cap on how much, I think we're trying to keep the cost down. So we put a cap on how much we can pay for each keg, and we put that at the below the premium.
Right. So you're not going to get the super premium.
Right.
Somebody's really feeling generous. One of the breweries is feeling generous.
Right. But I don't think Dogs Who Said will be bringing their, you know, I don't think you're going to see 120-minute IPA on tap at the beer festival. And if you do, you'll know it because there's a line around the block. But anyway.
And you may not even get the 90-minute.
I mean, we'll get 60-minute almost.
Yeah, 60-minute.
They've been bringing Namaste a lot. Uh-huh. And that's such a good beer. I think it's one of their, I mean, I heard in an interview Sam saying that it's one of their fastest growing beers, but I think it's a really underrated beer. It's nice and it's good for drinking all day. It's a low, especially for Dogfish Head, it's a really low alcohol beer. And so I feel like we're going to get that, and maybe the Beer to Drink Music By or Romantic Chemistry, because they've been bringing those out as well. And those are also very, very, very good beers. But we'll be having announcements all this week. We got our first batch of beer was announced. We're going to have Boardwalk Blonde and Downtown Sugar Brown from Backshore Brewing. And then Hoop Tea is going to be there with their own thing. They do like a malt beverage. It's like their own...
It's like alcoholic teas.
Yeah, like twisted teas or whatever like that. But they make it right here. You know, they make it right here in they make the pilots actually right here at Ocean City. But I think they're expanding, so I don't know if they may be contracting this year. I'm not sure. But Evo, I believe, is bringing four beers, and I believe it's going to be Pine Hopple is going to be one of their beers, and I believe that lot three for sure.
And both those are good.
And Primal. And I don't remember
that's
the
always
fourth.
Good.
Yeah. No, and that's the thing. Like, all of these people have so – there's so much good beer out there. It's hard to just say, well, we don't – you know. We don't care.
Good incentive to come to the beer festival.
Oh, good incentive to come to the beer festival.
And get $5 off now.
Right, right. And get $5 off. But also, this isn't the kind of beer that you drink. You know, this isn't Drunkard's beer. Yeah. Drunkard's beer is Mickey's Big Mouth Bath, which I usually buy, like, sometimes on St. Patrick's Day, I'll buy an ironic six-pack of that. And my wife always gets a huge kick out of it when I bring that home, because he's like, I haven't had this since college. But no, you haven't had it since last St. Patrick's Day.
And how fast can you chug it?
Oh, pretty fast. Yeah, you go through that pretty quickly. And last but not least, we have not the very last but not least, because there's some other things we want to talk about. But there's an editorial in Boston Globe this week about the problems that they're having with distribution. And did you want to go over this? Did you take a look at it?
I looked at it very briefly. Now, you go ahead and cover it.
Well, their problem is the same as many problems. And it's that when you get locked into these, I think in Boston, they still have forever agreements with the distributor. It's like really, really, really difficult to get out of your distribution agreement. Delaware is the same way, or is Delaware...
That's what I've heard, is once you're in, you're locked in.
Right.
I don't know if you never change, but I always heard that you got to pick carefully who your distributor
is. Yeah, and you know, and I've been thinking about that only because our friends at Evo just recently are in the process of changing distributors. And it's, I think it's uncomfortable for, in the blog, I called it like a bad divorce a lot of times.
I mean, if you got a lot of the big guys, they're pushing
their own. Yes. Yeah.
And the little guy gets left behind. If you got a lot of little guys, maybe you're going to get some attention in there because you're grouped with a lot of other smaller breweries.
Right. So. And the other difficulty for making it so hard to switch distributors is that there could sometimes be a little bit of bad blood, but like, I'll take Tracy for example, because we talk about her all the time. And Tracy Huggins is the salesperson for Third Wave, right? She used to be a distributor. She used to be a distributor rep, and that's how she got into the beer selling business. So let's say you're a craft brewery, and you're like, oh well, Tracy's awesome. She's great at selling beer. You know, I'll sign a forever contract with that distributor. And then Tracy leaves, and you get somebody like me who's like kind of jerky, you know, you're like, oh, I don't want him selling my beer. He doesn't represent my brand very well. And that's the difficulty.
But even with your distributor sales rep, most breweries still have their own, as you just said.
Right. They have their own salespeople.
Because they want better attention given to their beer. And then they'll advertise or go out and talk to the bars or the distributors about it, and also the retail locations, and then they'll order it through the distributor.
Right. And actually, that's one of the troubles that we're having. So we're having this beer festival, and we have to get in touch with all the breweries and make sure they want to come. And then we get in touch with the distributor and make sure they're going to bring the stuff. And then we get in touch with the brewery and see which beers they want to sell. And then we get in touch with the distributors and tell them which beers that we want them to bring. You know, and you feel like if everybody's coming, and there are some breweries that it happened in secrets in the wintertime. They just brought their own beer and made an invoice to them from their distributor. Yeah. So that they could pay for their own beer that they got from. It's very complex. Very complex. And I don't think it serves anyone very well, is I think the
it's a three-tier system that they want to make sure that everybody's got their hand in your pocket.
Right. And going forward, I think we're going to see a little bit of a shakeup, because we've talked a couple of times because the laws are different all over the country. Sometimes craft beer and big beer are on the same side in the distribution fight, and sometimes they're on opposite sides. Yeah, because even though Budweiser has a lot of big distributors that it spun off, but technically owns, you know, throughout the country, but there are still a lot of laws that prevent them from, you know, getting what they want to get done. And you know, if you're Budweiser and you're having trouble with the distribution with the three-tiered system, you know.
What's a small guy going to do?
Right. What's the small guy going to do? And
I got a question. What is, I know Worcester County had liquor distribution. I heard at some point they were going to stop that.
Right. Worcester County no longer has.
So they have stopped it.
Yeah. They
so now that the regular distributors are taking care of the
Liquor distribution.
Liquor distribution, but the breweries don't have to participate. You can self-distribute.
Oh, okay.
I think you may be able to self-distribute all throughout Maryland, but I know that Burley and Backshore at very least self-distribute.
That's great locally, but if you want to expand, then it becomes more
right.
Then,
well, yeah, I know that. I don't know what Burley had. Burley had a distributor, and they again got rid of him. And that was I don't recall it being ugly, but I remember it was like, oh well, odd, you know. But they have one, like they have a distributor that sells their beer across the bay. So they have one for Baltimore, and that's what our friend Ronnie Price is having trouble with, is like every time he wants to get into another county in Maryland, he has to find a different distributor and sign a different contract. Because we were hoping to have him come to this festival, Blue World, I'm sorry, we're talking about Blue World Brewing, and his audio should be up next week.
That's 26 counties in Maryland.
So. Yeah, right? And that's the problem. He's like, oh, we're distributing in Maryland. I'm like, oh, cool, I'll sign you up. And he's like, oh no. We're in Harford County. That's one. One down, 25 to go. Yeah. But we're hoping to get him at least in time for Ocean City. But you can buy their beer now. I don't know if you've seen it in the stores. Yeah. But you can get it here in Del Mar. They have the Walkin' Blues IPA, which is a solid beer. They do really good work over there.
They do make good stuff.
And
another great brewery locally.
Right, another great local brewery within 100 miles, so I can drink it. I actually almost bought some the other day, but I was looking for cans.
For the beach?
Yeah. Well, just not for the beach. I can't remember the reason that I needed cans. Oh, for chicken. We were doing a beer can chicken. And that's the other thing.
Bud will work just as well for that.
Right. Well, that's what I do with like when my, you know, my son-in-law's coming over, I'll get a Budweiser. And but I like to, it costs me an extra $4 to make sure that, you know, that our local breweries do well. But it was interesting that, Third Wave wasn't in the cooler case. And I was like almost mad for a second. I'm like, that's none of my business, but. You know, and I guess that's the next step with cans is like who's going to get cooler space and who's not. And that's where your distributor should be fighting for you, but they don't always, I mean, they're not always able to, but you know.
Have X number of brands, so many brands.
You have to do what your boss tells you to do. So that brings us almost to the very end of the show. We're going to talk a little bit about upcoming things. There's a brewing festival this weekend. There's a homebrew festival in Baltimore, in Philadelphia.
Oh, that's next weekend.
Oh, all right. I'm sorry.
let's not forget this time. National Homebrewers Conference is next weekend. Starts on Wednesday evening for the trade. We're going up for special presentations on some things, and then Thursday, Friday, and Saturday is for trade plus homebrewers. So we'll be up there Wednesday through Saturday next week. So.
And that is the 9th, 10th, the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, or whatever. Right.
That's right in Baltimore. So
if you're listening and you're going, because I know we have a lot of homebrewing listeners, I'd love if you wanted to take pictures and send them to us. We'd like to put them up on the site. I put up a little call for submissions today, but I'll say it out loud. If anybody wants to start their own beer blog, I would love to help you. You can write a couple posts for me, and then you can have your own blog on Sure Craft Beer if you want, or if you're already writing a beer blog and you want to make a submission to Sure Craft Beer so we can share it and get you guys some more eyes on your work, that'd be great. And now there's also a,
well, this weekend, Saturday here in Laurel, it's the Bike and Brew.
Oh, that's right.
So,
and that's at Johnny Janosik Park. Is that what that's called?
It's right downtown on the
by Abbott's.
Yep, on Broad Creek.
And
so we'll be there. We can't sell or serve beer, but we'll have soda and tea for all of the bikers.
Now, is it just you guys and Dogfish Head again, or
I don't know who all the breweries are that are setting up. I know in the past it had been 60 Mile and Dogfish, but maybe this year will be different.
Yeah, well, last year was just Dogfish, but I know that they were. We invited 16 Mile to come to this festival, and I spoke with Sarah there, who's been nothing but nice to me. She's been really, really nice, but she said that they're having trouble. They're having trouble with their distributor in Wicomico County, in this part of the state. And so they're having trouble getting beer to
Maryland. So,
oh, you can come to Georgetown, put one in your
absolutely
car and take it with you.
And take it with you. I haven't been there. And I mean, I was there for a couple of stories, yeah. But I'm going to hopefully you were signing there and go out and have a beer there and
just crazy.
I'll report
distribution
back.
Problems you can have.
Right. And that's, but they're doing well. You know what? They're one of those breweries that sells, they have their crowd and they have their fans and they sell directly to their fans. And, my brother had actually asked me whether or not, you know, because I made fun of I didn't put this story up to talk about, but Pizza Hut's trying to get their hands on more spent grain so they can make spent grain pizza. Oh. And I just hate Pizza Hut, so I said something nasty about it. And my brother was giving me a hard time. He's like, no, they're using spent grain. Yeah, I don't think you get to complain about that. I'm like, yeah, but you know, like 16 Mile they make pretzels out of theirs, and there's a local baker who makes bread out of theirs. And of course up in Greenwood, they make bison meat out of theirs. So if you have the bison burger at Abbott's, for example, that bison was raised on grain. From Massapillion. And I think also from Dogfish Head. I know Dogfish Head works with the bison people too.
Yeah. I'm not sure. And I know they've been doing that for a long time.
Yeah.
As long as I can remember, they've been having their spent grains go to some cattle or bison grower.
And they make it into dog food and like into, then they make it into pet like hair products or soap or something.
Yeah. With the spent grain gives you a little bit of roughness to the soap.
So I think I know he listens, so I'll tell you, maybe Johnny, I'll bring you some beer products from Dogfish Head next time I come up. And so last but not least, you have the Eat Your Wheaties is what I,
Wheaties? Oh, yes. Right. Eat Your Wheaties. It's a contest for a wheat beer. So that's coming up next month. So come get your ingredients and brew your beer.
And when's it due? Oh, I thought it was due. I thought it was due like the 18th. Or
it might be.
Oh, all right. Check on Extreme.
Sorry.
That's all right. Check on extremebrewing.com. Sorry. Go to everything else.
Yeah.
And you'll see the Eat Your Wheaties. You'll see the link to the podcast. If you find that the link to the podcast is old, I'm sorry. I'm going to fix that soon. I've just been a busy couple weeks. I forgot that when I moved to the Sharecraft Beer site, I stopped updating the Beer with Strangers site. So I'll get that fixed post haste. And as for me, I will be at Fordham and Dominion Brewing on June 10th when you guys are in Baltimore.
Okay.
And I'll be doing my signing there, and I'll have a signing coming up in Del Mar at the Del Mar Library, and I'm going to work something out with Lori and all those things. You can find me on shorecraftbeer.com and just click on my name. I'm the only one writing there for right now. But if you want to join us, we'd be happy to have you. And I think that's it for this week. So until next week,
drink what you like and be happy.
All right, we'll see you.